Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River. Before we jump into today's special message, let us prepare our hearts for the reading of today's scripture.
Good morning, Daybreak. This week, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 26. This is actually part 2 from the week before, where Pastor Rich preached about Peter healing a crippled beggar. And so after the healing, Peter is now speaking to the onlookers, kind of explaining what happened. I'm going to read verses 11 through 26. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." I'm going to come back to this in a minute. We are witnesses of this. "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has given him this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that as Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.'" Now we get to verses 24 through 26. "Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." Amen. That is the reading of God's word. There is just so much in here. Pastor Rich is going to unpack this here in a moment, but a couple of things stood out to me as I was reading. All the prophets from Samuel on have foretold these days. And then verse 25, "And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers." So when I think of Samuel, and I think of covenant, I think of 2 Samuel 7. This is where God makes a covenant with David, and he tells him that he is going to have a son sit on the throne forever in a forever kingdom. So there's going to be a forever son who sits on the throne in a forever kingdom. So I always think about that when I hear of Samuel and God's covenant. And by the way, when I was at Cincinnati Bible College and Seminary, Professor John Weatherly would give you a passing grade on your test if you didn't know any answer and you just put 2 Samuel 7, you'd get like a D-, so you would pass, you wouldn't fail. But that's how important it was to him, this covenant. But remember I told you I was coming back to witnesses. You know, Peter says we were witnesses. You know, he's talking about witnesses to Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, as we saw earlier in Acts 1. You know, the apostles were witnesses to this. And it's amazing how many people set out to disprove Christianity but could not overcome the evidence. You know, particularly the resurrection, because there were like Paul tells us, like up to 500 people saw Jesus at one time. And it's hard to overcome overwhelming evidence. Lee Strobel might probably be the most famous atheist who set out to disprove Christianity because his wife became a Christian and he didn't like that. So he was going to show her, you know, a thing or two. He has ended up becoming one of the most important apologetic writers to help us understand why Christianity is a reasonable faith. C.S. Lewis was raised as a Christian after his mother died. He became an atheist. And he was kind of, I don't know how you say it, a reluctant convert. Maybe that's the best way of saying it. You know, he was a brilliant mind, was a professor over in England. I forget if it was Cambridge or Oxford. Forgive me. I don't have any notes in front of me. And he ended up becoming a Christian through the intellectual route. First, his colleagues were leaving materialism. So, okay, that meant some type of creator. He ended up believing in God, but not believing in Jesus. And finally, he ended up becoming a believer in Jesus. But it took a while. It took a while. Like I said, he was a reluctant convert. So it's amazing, you know, what we'll think, what we'll become, what we'll do, how will we react when we examine the evidences with a clear and open mind. And we can look at those evidences because of the witnesses, like Peter and the rest of the apostles. And so anyway, what are you going to do with the message Pastor Rich has for you? That's a question he's going to ask. Pastor Rich?
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now we get to the rest of the story from last week about the crippled beggar. A crowd has now gathered to see a man who had just been healed. Imagine that for years and years they have watched as this man's family and friends have carried him every day to the temple gate to beg for money. That was his job. That was his life, sitting at the doors of the temple hoping someone would provide him with his daily needs because he was not physically able to do so. There was no welfare system in place, and this was the only hope he had. He was over 40 years of age, and he had been this way all of his life. He asked Peter and John for help, and Peter's response is classic. He says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And you know what? He does. But the crippled man doesn't just walk. The Bible says he jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple. Now, I've seen some of you happy as you come through the doors to be at church Sunday mornings. But I must admit, I haven't seen any one of you jump up and down and shout when you come in. But it's not a bad idea, is it? Now, it was this miracle of healing that brought in the crowd. A miracle had happened at the front doors of the temple, and now people were everywhere. So Peter used this as an opportunity to preach the gospel. It's just like a preacher to do that, right? Amen? Amen. You see, the gospel message is simple. We call it the good news because it is the message that God, through Jesus Christ, did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. When we describe the good news, we usually describe it in three ways. First, the death of Jesus on the cross. Second, his burial in a borrowed tomb. And third, we describe the resurrection. We do not believe Jesus was still alive and somehow got out. We do not believe someone stole his body. We believe that the body of Jesus was resurrected and the stone was not moved until later when an angel removed it. How did this happen? Answer, he is God. This passage goes right along with this teaching. Here we will see his resurrection power in the past, his resurrection power in the present, and his resurrection power in the future. First, the resurrection shows his power in the past. Let us look again at verses 11 through 15. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." Now, this is quite a picture to me. The beggar who was healed holding on to Peter and John. Not sure why. Perhaps he was hugging them, thanking them. Perhaps he wasn't sure what would happen next. He may have wondered what the authorities would say, so he just hung on. They're at Solomon's Colonnade, which is like a covered porch where everyone had gathered. Apparently, everyone was shocked. Astonished might be a better word. Peter saw their impressions and the large group of people, and he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if we cause this man to walk?" He clearly wants them to understand the source of his healing. God's work did not begin with Jesus. God had been working for thousands of years prior to the birth of Jesus. And that is what Peter wanted to remind them of. He was a Jew speaking to Jews about a Jewish man named Jesus. So he does some name dropping. You know, I think I'll mention some important Jewish men from the past. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They knew about these men. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." So he says their God has glorified Jesus, but you handed him over to be killed. Pilate had decided to let him go, but you disowned him and exchanged him for a murderer. You set a guilty man free and an innocent man was crucified. But it is clear here that Peter wants them to understand, so he uses several different names and titles for our Lord. Servant, Jesus, Holy, Righteous One, and author of life. This was not an ordinary man they had crucified. Jesus was the source of this healing. Then the resurrection shows his power in the present. Let us look again at verses 16 through 20. "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. There is an important phrase Luke uses here, and he uses it frequently. 33 times in the book of Acts, Luke tells us that this took place in the name of Jesus. How was this man healed? How is all of this possible? Because of the name of Jesus and the faith that comes through him. The beggar did not have to understand the resurrection. He didn't have to have all his theology intact. He just needed to know the source of this power, Jesus Christ. Peter wants them to understand this. Peter then says to them, I know that you really didn't understand what you were doing. You did it out of ignorance when you crucified Jesus, and so did your leaders. They were guilty nonetheless, but he is making the point that the crucifixion fulfilled prophecy because God had said that the Messiah would suffer. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob prophesied that this would take place. He was basically repeating what Jesus had said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. And Peter wants us to understand here that the crucifixion that has taken place is not the end of the story. This Messiah, this promised one, is alive. He has ascended to heaven and he will return. And if they will repent and return to God, they will experience a time of refreshing. Now, this tells us that the Jews would not be forgotten about. It seems to say that Israel will repent before Jesus comes again. Until that time, Jesus will remain in heaven. Now, having announced the crime they have committed, having presented the evidence, Peter now offers them a pardon. First, he is the prosecuting attorney. Then he is the defense attorney. And then he sits down on the judge's bench. What does he tell them to do? They had to repent of their sins. This means to have a change of mind about three things. Themselves, their sin, and Jesus Christ. Repentance is much more than feeling sorry you got caught or even feeling sorry for your sins. Feelings pass away. Repentance changes us. He tells them you must make two turns here. You must turn away from your sin and you must turn to the Lord. Peter tells them if you will do this, three things will happen. First, your sins will be wiped out. Second, a time of refreshment will come. And third, ultimately, Jesus will come back. And this also brings us to our final point. The resurrection shows his power in the future. Let us look at verses 21 through 23. Heaven must receive him until the time comes from God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. You see, Jesus will triumph. He is our source. He is our strength. And he is our security for the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Jesus is the source of this healing power in the past. His strength is available to us in the present, and our future is secure in Christ. The gospel always requires a response. Peter wanted his listeners to do something with what he had said. They had a choice to make. And you know what? So do we. Amen? Amen. In the year 1900, a killer hurricane bore down on the city of Galveston, Texas. One old bridge connected the island to the mainland, and it was the only evacuation route for thousands of people. They were all warned to get out right away. But since they couldn't actually see the hurricane, They couldn't hear it. They chose to do nothing. When the storm hit, 6,000 people were killed and the entire city was destroyed. Today, a concrete seawall stands as a barrier to keep another disaster away, but it also serves as a reminder that over 125 years ago, thousands of people heard a message and they did not respond. Daybreak Community Church, what will you do with what you've heard today? Will you choose to do nothing and, like those 6,000 people, die for not reacting to the message? Or will you receive this message and respond to it, which in itself creates new life? Life or death? Death or life? It doesn't seem like a tough choice, does it? During the Song of Reflection, the altar is open for you to come up, bow down, and pray. When you stand back up from the altar, leave whatever is burdening you there at the altar and walk back to your pew knowing that you have chosen a new life in Jesus Christ. Let us reflect upon his message, and God bless you. I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.